This week on the Reflex Blue Show, he puts the Adams in Adams Morioka, Sean Adams. Okay, hey, Donovan.
Hey, what's up?
Good Lord.
Hey, Nate.
We're doing another show. It's like we almost do it all the time.
And we actually got the guest that we told people last week we were going to get.
I know, but you know what's funny about that? I might actually air this show before the one we did last
week.
That's
just rude.
It might be. Right. It might be, but it depends. If this turns out to be a terrible show, then we'll air them in the correct order, and then you'll know
how I feel about
shows.
We do want to welcome Sean Adams.
Very happy to welcome Sean Adams. How
My
are you
pleasure.
Doing today?
I'm happy to be here.
We're up here in your fabulous room where there shall be no hanging of items from the sprinklers.
Uh-huh. It's exciting.
You're in downtown Omaha, Nebraska, like I said just before we started. People seem to keep coming here. We're not entirely sure why, but we're happy to have you.
It's your star power that drags them here.
Oh, now.
That's what I keep telling you.
I still don't believe you, but coming from Sean...
It's the power you wield in the industry that people know if they don't show up, they'll be crushed.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Let's put that on the homepage.
Yeah.
The power and the crushing.
Okay, well, we do have to thank the whole AIJ. This is the whole national conference.
Now, we normally wind up thanking the local AIJ chapter. At this point, we have to thank the entire organization for that accepting that stunning... what would you call that proposal to hold the leadership conference here?
Well, I think what it was the 8x10 signed glossies of me, you, Tom, and Drew that were mailed with the proposal that got it here. Mm-hmm.
I think the celebrity. Oh, good Lord, he's right. It was the celebrity status.
That was it. Mm-hmm.
Sean Adams tells no lies.
Yep.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about Sean Adams. I think you have the official bio there. Here's what I can tell you. Now, my memory.
Correct,
from time
us,
to
way.
Time,
okay. I plagiarize this stuff.
Maybe a bit hazy. When I first met Sean Adams, he was 5'2", looked kind of like Gimli the Dwarf, but with less facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bit quieter. He was here judging an AIGA competition back in the day.
2003.
Oh, no, you're talking about Bill Grant.
No. No, well, I could be.
You just mixed
That's good. Bill Grant was there. Yeah. The last time I saw Sean before today was at the Denver conference, the AIGA Next conference. I was in Denver last fall. He had grown to 6'10" with a smile that shines like justice over the entire design industry. I'm not entirely sure how that happened. I know that you grew at least 1.5 feet in between the times that I saw you.
Right.
And
well, it's just 6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? That? But
close enough.
Well, 6'2". Okay.
Yeah.
And
I don't want
noted.
To think I'm freakishly tall.
Well, yeah, but you fill out well. I mean, it has presence.
Okay.
Yeah. It could have just been, you know, the massive gallery.
No, I
that
think
we
you're getting
in.
Confused with a giant Jumbotron image on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really that big.
Okay.
That is a television screen.
All right.
That's Washington at 6'10".
Do you have a more official, because I feel like I was a bit hazy on that.
Well, no, actually, no. Sean's actually right now, he's the president of the national AIGA group.
Mm-hmm.
And
we do want to talk to you about
that,
but we're going to get through some other things. In 1994... founded Adams Morioka after a brief stint in apparently freezing cold New York.
Yes.
I believe that the call there was, what the hell's the point of this?
Yeah. Well, when it was April after my third year and it was still chilly. And I couldn't believe that because it was like, isn't April when you start going to the beach again? Something's wrong here.
A lot of great beaches in Manhattan.
Yeah,
you want to go to those.
That's what we do here in Omaha.
That's right.
April.
Yeah.
Go to the beach.
Right.
Hey, good Lord, you would think. But now let's see. And aside from founding Adams Morioka, we could actually go through quite a bit here, but I would if I could round it out to say if there's an association that can give an award for graphic design, it's safe to say you've probably got one of those locked up.
They've probably been bribed at some point or
another,
yes.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to cover?
No, that's basically it.
Okay. Well, as I was doing my research for the show today, we covered New York.
You did? That's impressive.
Yeah, this is rare.
Yeah. Okay. What happened? Well, I didn't want to come up here. Well, we've already blown about 5 minutes of the show of me senselessly rambling on. But so you studied at Cal Arts.
Right.
Did not go to Harvard.
I did not go to Harvard.
I have a lot of respect
for that. I'm one of
the
very few people in my family that did not go to Harvard, yes.
Wow. Okay. One of the few.
Why did you choose not to go to Harvard?
You know, they didn't have a design program. And it was my grandparents, of course, were shocked beyond belief and, like, terrified. And, like, you know, you can imagine. You say, I'm not going to Harvard. I'm going to art school.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I'm actually still myself a little shocked. I'm glad that you made the decision. But
I think when we told our parents we weren't going to Harvard, they just kind of like nodded like they knew.
Yeah,
like, of course. Why not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
I did go through
the
process.
Know that.
I did my interview. I got accepted. I did everything I was supposed to do. I just, you know, when it boiled down to it, it was Harvard Arts Center or Cal Arts. And And I thought, I'll go to CalArts. Okay, yeah, giant mistake. I admit it now. Yes, huge mistake. My parents should have shoved me into Harvard, but, you know, okay.
Well, I was just going to say, it's kind of worked out for you.
But imagine if I got to Harvard, I could be a senator by now.
Yeah, but who wants
to do that? But you're a president.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah. And, you know, there's enough senators. We, you know, I'd just be one another, so.
Right.
Yeah, we've got plenty of those. So after CalArts... moved immediately. Let's see, you graduated, you said on, I've seen you say, on a Friday.
Started work on a Monday morning.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you moved back to LA. It's LA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's LA now, but I didn't know if it was LA then.
Yeah.
And tell me about, I guess you met Noreen through tennis.
We met through tennis. We met at CalArts, and, we met at registration. She was the only person there that wasn't totally insane looking, wearing strange clothes and clown outfits and,
oh, great.
You know, that, tattoos. And so I went across the room. She was wearing pink petal pushers and sort of said, well, I could talk to her. So I walked over and started talking to her. And we were the only people to actually ever use the tennis courts at CalArts for anything other than pot smoking. So
did you ever... getting scuffles about that. Hey, man, we're trying to smoke our weed.
Oh, no, you know, the great thing about people that are stoners is they're kind of laid back. So you're just sort of like, hey,
we're going to play tennis. The tennis ball starts flying by their head and they just
kind of move. Oh, yeah, man, fine. Okay, we'll go sit over here instead. You know, they were fine with it. And yeah, so we played tennis together for a couple of years.
So how did that transition? You guys were friends at school. You went to New York. She went to Japan.
Right.
When you guys both found yourselves coming back to LA, how did you guys meet up and say, this is the way we're going to do it. Let's start our own thing.
Well, I came back and right off the bat, I started working with Lorraine Wilde on some books. And so she and I did a couple of books together. And then I got this sort of triumvirate of famous women designers. I worked with Lorraine for a while, and then Sheila de Bretville asked me to help her with a magazine that was being started. So I worked with Sheila on that for a while. And then April Griman called me and asked if I'd come on board as a design director. So I went to work for April. And when I was at April's, after a couple of years, we needed a senior designer. And I knew Noreen was getting a little tired of Japan and called her and said, hey, any chance we could drag you back here to come work with us? And she accepted, and so she and I worked at April's together for a few years. And and then, you know, I think it's that point in everyone's life. I think I was 28, 29, mm-hmm. and you were reaching almost 30, and you realize, okay, it's now or never.
I know what that's like.
You know, where you're like, if I can stay here.
Nate's going through that right now.
Yeah.
I'm actually going through that at this right. very moment.
Because there's this line you cross, I think, when you're like at a certain age, you sort of have to resign yourself. Well, this is my career. I will always now work mm-hmm. for someone else. And yeah, I'll do a great job and be in a position of responsibility. Or you say, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to go out and strike out and do my own thing and sort of follow my path. And both are valid. And I remember someone once telling me, look, working for someone else or working for yourself, it's all the same thing. You're either an entrepreneur or you're not. That's all there is to it. It's like, if you are, yeah, you're going to go work for yourself. It's a hellish job. It's relentless. You're always having to, like, you know, find work and keep it rolling. Or you're going to work for someone else, you know, and that's great. They're taking care of getting the work, paying the paycheck. But at the same time, you can get fired at any minute. Right. So there's ups and downs of both sides. And it's just your nature. If you're sort of the hard scrabble, like I was saying, I'm sort of this hard scrabble desert rat. I'll just mm-hmm. get out there and.
So you think that it kind of chose you, not the other way around?
Yeah, I don't think we had a choice. And also, I think Noreen and I had really specific ideas about design and what design should be. And so it seemed for us to be able to do that, we just have to go out mm-hmm. and do our own thing.
And that would be the clarity, purity and resonance.
Exactly. It almost seemed baroque to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like there was it was like layer upon layer upon layer and filter on filter on filter and varnish on varnish and varnish. And we always use this analogy. We said, you know, there's starving children in the world. This is obscene. Can we do this simply and plainly and speak in clear language that everyone can understand and do it efficiently? So let's use less resources. Let's do it the smart way. And we were pretty sure that the only clients we would get would be a couple of banks, some financial institutions that wanted boring conservative work. And
that's a good positive spin on
it. I know. We had high hopes. And as it turned out, strangely enough, I think the world was kind of ready for a shift. And we started getting kind of interesting, exciting clients. And I remember the head of creative at A&M Records back then, which was still alive, called us and said, I heard about you guys. You're doing that new kind of cool clean stuff, right?
Nice.
Which was amazing to us. We thought, well, yeah, that's not new, but okay, if you want to think it is, okay, fine by me. But
it's new if you only go back about 3 or 4 years.
If you want to, yeah,
if you go back 50 years, it's old.
Yeah, you know, right. And so, but I don't think we had a choice. I think it's the way we think, and it's the way we try to do. Believe me, there have been so many times when we've said, let's try to do this. Hey, let's be a little bit more on edge, and we'll try something a little, maybe a little denser. And then we put it together, it all comes out.
Like, yeah.
Oh, it's too much stuff on that page. Get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it.
And all right. Clean it up. So following that initial period of a couple years, what I kept seeing pop up again while I was digging into the past, there was an attempted merger there.
Yes.
Which backfired very badly.
Very badly, yeah.
You guys were merged with another company? Or
we did.
Yeah, for about six months there. Now, the only thing that I never quite found out, and I cannot absolutely understand if you don't want to reveal it, but I could never find out who it was with.
Yeah, we don't ever reveal it.
Okay. Yeah. Now we won't go into that. Talking about that,
there were some terms that were said afterwards.
Certainly.
Was that when you were with in the Larry Flint building? I mean, was it maybe possibly with the people with you were renting from?
Yeah. No. No. Unfortunately.
You got any good? I mean,
Flint stories.
You ever see Larry Flint?
We do see Larry once in a while. He has a gold wheelchair.
That's what I hear.
He seems like the type that would have a gold wheelchair.
It's amazing. I've never been to his office, but Terry, who works with us, had taken her class up to their offices once. She has a class at Art Center, and she took him up there, and she said it's like Vegas. It's like big, fancy frame paintings and velvet draperies, and it's this incredible opulent space.
So it's like
space.
The exact same as I assume your office would be.
Exactly the same,
This clean and reserved Vegas look.
Yeah. Drapery, velvet.
Gold chairs.
So the fallout from the merger was that essentially you guys, now the one thing that I really thought was forward thinking of you guys was that you still had the lease on your old space.
Yeah.
You still had the phone number.
Yeah, clearly we were not jumping into this all the way.
Had a bit of a backup plan there, but at the end of the day, you still, at that time, felt like you were starting over from scratch.
Yeah.
And what I'm curious about is, because at the end of the day, it's worked out, and it seems like you guys are doing quite well. In fact, looking at the work that you guys produce, and you know, that you guys do a really good job of getting a lot of media coverage and interviews. You pop up in magazines. You're obviously doing speaking.
Not self-motivated by any means. And people always think that we're out there like spinning like crazy, but honestly, we're just responding.
Yeah,
it's.
I have to let everyone know.
I don't know.
Sean, totally.
Yeah, those 400 emails I got saying, please, let me come to Omaha and be on the show.
Is there any chance?
Yeah.
But what I'd like to ask you about is, it all seems like from day one it's been nothing but sunshine and roses and rainbows for you guys. But I've found that that's not necessarily the case. You guys have actually been through some pretty harrowing times.
Yeah.
So when you look at before that experience, if we're talking about the merger, to the kind of business that you have had after that experience, what changed? How much maturity developed from that? And I said, you know, there was even, I read a lot about the power of putting on a happy face, even if everything else was
falling apart
at the seams.
Yeah, it was. You know, the great thing about understanding what went wrong with you know, our sort of aborted merger was, we came out of that understanding who we wanted to work with really clearly. We wanted to work with people we liked and people we respected. And I think we walked away saying, if we end up being the most expensive drawing studio in the world, that's what it is. Because I'm not going to work with people I don't like. I'm not going to work with people that treat me badly. I deserve respect. And if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, I don't want my last few minutes on earth doing a job I hate.
Right.
So that was a big lesson to learn. And we also learned we don't want to have 25 people working for us. We don't want to be dragging in every job we can to pay the bills.
How big is the studio now?
It's like 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We keep it small. It's like 9.
I was really hoping you'd just say 25 people.
Yeah, it's 24, 38. Actually.
No, so we try to, we keep it small so that we can actually, you know, like not take jobs if we don't want to. And so that was a great lesson to learn. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, spend time doing things in life you like doing. Don't waste your time with the things you don't like to do. And that was really important. But right afterwards, no, it was definitely hard. We'd lost all of our clients. They'd all sort of pretty much walked away. And we had to start all over again. And it worked fine. You know, within a couple of months, we were back up and running. But, you know, I was still having to go out there and do speaking engagements. And you're out there talking about how great things are and, wow, you know, it's a great profession. And, you know, the point is, you don't want to go to some speaking engagement and walk away feeling dejected and horrible. Like, why in God's name am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're going to inspire someone in the audience and they're going to feel like, okay, I like my job. I want to try harder. You know, maybe this is, you know, they get a little inspired. And I would just, you felt like a fraud because you're like, my own life is so hard right now. But you can't go out and complain about your own life. That no one wants to hear that.
Well, you're certainly not going to get invited back doing that. Yeah. One of the best quotes, and I think I believe I got this from your own website, describing working at Adams Morgan. Uh-huh. People come to work for us and they think it's going to be like an episode of The Monkees. Lots of dancing, jokes, and 60s surf music playing. I'm disappointed, obviously, to find out that that's not the case, because that perfectly encapsulates exactly the way I picture your office.
I even had the stocking cap ready to join in.
What is the new guy or girl, the new uh-huh. designer on staff? What is that first week like for them? What's a week like?
We always joke and we say, you know, it's not Beach Boys and dancing on the tables. It's more like Satan's Workshop, but in reality, probably isn't. I mean, when I talk to the designers that just start, they do talk, this is a radically different place than I've ever worked before. Mm-hmm. And we do keep it light. Work should be, it's supposed to be fun, right? We're not accountants. It's supposed to be fun. So, you know, it's kept light. We spend a lot of effort making sure that the designers are protected from any issues that might be happening with clients, and they feel inspired to do their very best work. And I think they have a good time. No one works overtime. Now, my staff will probably call in and say that's a complete lie.
So we'll take those comments at 36point.com.
Yeah, unless they seriously have to. I mean, unless something's really going on. It's very rare that someone has to stay late or ever work on a weekend. You know, they work 9:30 to 6:30. We take an hour religiously for lunch.
Same time?
We pretty much usually
do. You guys go out together?
We try to whenever possible. You know, every once in a while someone's like, oh, I brought my own, but... You know, we try to eat together.
There's always that one guy.
Yeah.
And why are you bringing
it up? I think it is a fun place to work. And I think it's a fun place to work because our clients are actually pretty good. I mean, since we're pretty choosy about the clients we take, and not because we're like fabulously wealthy, but just because we're committed to only working with people that we really want to work with, that they get to work on fun things. There's really no jobs in the office that are horrible drudgery jobs. I mean, no one's designing, you know, the same packaging 50,000 times for someone. But the part that I don't think people expect, and the biggest problem we have, is that people come to work for us and they think it's all going to be fun and games. And it is fun, and it is, we try to keep it light, but it's serious and it's work, and they need to be efficient.
And high profile work at that.
It's high profile work.
If you're doing something for, not to downplay my own community, but if you're doing something for the local grocer or the flower shop on the corner of Omaha, Nebraska, if something goes haywire on a job with that, okay, you know, it'll hurt that relationship a little bit, but ultimately probably won't cause too many large-scale problems. Let's say there was a typo on the VH1 logo the first time it went up to broadcast. Yeah. There'd be problems.
Accidentally put a 2 instead of a 1.
Yeah. Right,
They have VH2 now, don't they?
VH2, that's a good idea. I like that. I'll have to seal that.
I better trademark
you
that.
You can have that. Yeah. No, that's a freebie.
But we work with Mohawk, actually, as the paper company, mm-hmm. and we handle the Via line. And when they first asked us to take on the Via line, we were looking at the numbers, and it was counting for a big bulk of Mohawk's business, like a big bulk. And at one point I realized, if I screw this up, I've really hurt a company badly. You know, this isn't like, okay, I sort of goofed up a little product here. This would be a big, and unfortunately we didn't mess up, and it increased dramatically. So,
well,
you know, that worked out great, but you would think, I can't mess this up. But that's a problem. And I just think it's hard sometimes for people to understand you need to work. You know, we do keep it as a small staff, but they have to be efficient. Mm-hmm. And people are always amazed to say, we can't believe the amount of work you guys churn out of this office that, you know, with only 8 or 9 people. And like, they're good, they're efficient, and we take care of them. That's how it works.
Well, and that's one of the, to me, that's a really interesting topic. I don't know how much more we can actually go into it, but you know, when most people start up their own design companies, they're thinking about the work, they're thinking about autonomy, being mm-hmm. entrepreneurial.
Right.
They're not at that point, and I'm sure that you probably weren't thinking about, how can I make a great environment for the other 6 people that are eventually going to be my employees?
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people wind up, they don't do that. They just, it's about the work, and oh, get some benefits when I can afford to get some benefits. That's always a tough thing.
Yeah.
That's commendable, honestly.
Well, I mean, what's the point of having an office unless you can make a space where other people can come and do great creative work?
I think it's time, Nate.
Okay, I think it is. Also, now, apparently, you've portended to have listened to the show before. Now we're going to hit you with the Reflex Blue Trivia round.
All right.
I have not, for the first time ever, I have not seen any of these questions.
But okay. He's still the official judge.
And so. Let me make a disclaimer. I am sort of like the Ronald Reagan president. I'm not particularly all here.
Great.
So okay.
That is probably only going to help you.
Since your last name's Adams.
Yes.
And John Adams was the second president of the U.S. and the first vice president of the U.S.
Right.
And you're the president of AIGA. We want to know who the second ever president of AIGA was.
I don't know.
That's not correct.
It
was John Clyde Oswald, who was the editor of the American Printer back in 1915.
Was the first one, who would be the first one? Oh, who's the first one?
Whoa, I'm not the one being asked questions.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes, that's right.
Good deflection.
All right, now we're talking about the work. You've done actually, you guys did quite a bit of work for the Sundance Channel and the Sundance Festival throughout the year.
Sundance Resort,
the
apparently.
Brand, yeah,
there's, quite a bit there.
There's a lot. There's like farms, there's everything, yeah.
Well, Entourage, the TV show, they had a movie premiere in season 2 on Sundance Festival.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you knew the name of it.
I don't watch that show.
Oh, Queens Boulevard.
I'm sorry.
He knew the answer. He didn't
know I knew the answer because I would have said that it was.
Now, is it true you're from Reno?
I am indeed from Reno, Nevada.
Okay, so the third question: have you ever shot a man just to watch him die?
Do I have to answer that honestly,
Judge?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's say no. I never have.
Oh, okay.
Judge will take that.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take that one.
Best color ever.
Blue.
No, hey, he's not going to go with that answer.
No.
I mean,
the company was founded.
It's black.
The company.
You know, this company. I'm sorry. Adams America was built on warm red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was built on not being a mysterious designer.
Yeah. This may be
wears black all the time.
This may be a designer, first designer we've ever met who has no black in his wardrobe whatsoever.
Yeah. Right. I'm actually totally accepting that.
I have navy blue. Does that count?
No.
No.
They're very. No.
Oh, sorry.
You can't mix those up. Yeah. Okay. And the last question, since your office is in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Who is older on the show 90210, Brandon or Brenda Walsh, the twins?
Brenda.
Sorry, Brandon.
No, she was the older twin.
It says Brandon by 4 minutes, according to Wikipedia, which we trust religiously.
Oh, yeah.
Because it cannot be incorrect.
No, it can't be wrong then, right?
Certainly.
Yeah. The other
So I actually circled that. So we got it. Two out of five on that
I'm
one.
Sorry.
Not bad. It's okay. They're completely ridiculous.
Well, you can redeem yourself by giving some good advice. You got any student tips?
We have a lot of young listeners.
Like when you get out of school, students, or when you're in school?
Maybe one of each.
Okay, so when you're in school, this is the biggest problem I see with students is that they're the most closed-minded people on the entire planet. They are completely shut down, and they get one idea in their head, and that's all it is. Be open to all kinds of design. You may hate it. Be open to it. It might actually be good. You might actually... I know I did that as a student, that I was, you know, oh, no, new wave design was the only way to go. Bullshit.
Works for every client.
Yeah, no. You gotta, be open. I mean, even though it may not be something you really love, there's probably something good there. So look at everything and be accepting of everything.
That's pretty good. That's not so bad.
And then when you're getting out, when you're ready to go out and show your portfolio, for God's sake, have decent typography. It's the only thing we look at. I don't care about anything else. I mean, obviously, if you come in, wearing flip-flops, it's a problem. But, you know, if
again, shattering my perceptions of what it's
no,
like.
No, it's because you don't even wear shoes when you show up to his office.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
What are those why are you wearing those?
Sad.
What's the point of...
But good typography. Really critical.
And that leads us to actually the other thing we always try to ask people is what typeface do we not want to see in a portfolio?
Do you have a
Noreen will throw someone out of the office if they use Gil Sans.
Gil don't Sands ask me the why.
The entire family?
Or
the
Gil entire Sands
family.
Just
I don't have
bold.
An issue with Gil Sans. She's got some... serious issue, like someone beat her with Gil Sans or something. I don't know what it was.
But. Well, and I support her on Gil. I think Gil Sans
extra bold,
light
yeah.
with you, but extra bold with that stupid eye and the bull and the tiny
it's
dot.
It's a little weird. I don't know what horrible. Her Gil Sans problem is, but now mine, ITC Garamond. Don't come near me with ITC Garamond. I don't want to know it exists.
There's a lot of people that hate that specific cut of Garamond.
Yeah,
it's evil. No, just calling it a cut of Garamond, I think, is what
it's an evil, evil, evil abnormality.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now we keep talking. Oh, hey, did you know Sean's the president of AIGA? We've actually gotten all the way to the end of the show and not discussed it. I have a couple questions about that.
First off, I gotta say, we had Steve Hartman on the first show.
Uh-huh.
And we were asking him, because everyone on AIGA has their different roles.
Right.
And Nate actually said that your role is just walking around looking good. That's just what you do.
Now that
you walk around and
thank you for bringing that up.
Is that really your role?
My role is most, well, I can't look good, but just walking around is part of the job.
That's not true.
I get to just, stand around.
Because the whole time in Denver, it's like, there goes Sean, walking around, looking good.
Oh, thank you.
Must be what that man does.
Must be very good. Yeah, well, in Denver, by the third day, you're just like, is there anything not wrinkled? Okay.
Yeah. And I tried to convince Nate that you guys brought in the, weren't you in charge of the big gala that you've been doing every year? That was kind of your pet project.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not taking all the credit. Obviously, it's a huge, huge cast of thousands that work on that. But I think the idea did start with Dana, Michael Vanderbilt, and I, sitting around on a lawn in Texas and saying, we got to do something. What can we make? And
then you said, well, when I get my medal, I want a big promotion.
Yeah. Well, that's never going to happen, believe me. But
that was actually a rejected question from my research was, what does it feel like to just be waiting around for your medal?
I don't even bother waiting. I figure that's just, it's like, no, never going to happen.
The previous president was Bill Grant, who I can attest from experience throws kick-ass hotel room parties at events.
Bill was
such
a great social president.
What do you bring to the table?
Bill was so much better at, just getting in there and having a swell time and just drinking. And
I've got very embarrassing photos of that man.
Probably. And I just, I always felt terrible. Related. I'm just not like that. And so I think that the thing that I'm trying, obviously there's so much that has to be done. There's so many. We're at such a massive juncture right now. And I want to beef up the screen-based part of the organization dramatically. And we are. The board is already a third screen-based. Obviously, Clement getting the medal this year, the first truly interactive designer that's gotten the medal. Mm-hmm. And, the nominating committee is working hard to make sure that we increase those things. The juries are far more diverse than they've ever been before. I don't know if you noticed, 365 was primarily west of the Mississippi. And
that's new.
That was, and we threw in 20-somethings. I mean, that thing was like an incredible mix of all kinds of people. And
somehow Drew still got into that, didn't he?
He's on this side of the Mississippi now.
Yeah. Well, let's this side of the Hudson.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And so that was great, and we had a, but the New York jury members we got were fantastic. And, I just love the fact you can mix in all kinds of groups and make that happen. And so just increasing the diversity of the profession and being more open to it is critical. And
so now you've still got correct me if I'm wrong, but you've still got at least another year left in your term.
Yeah.
What kind of other things, aside from what you've just mentioned, would you like to see accomplished in AIGA?
I think one of the problems that the profession's in at right now is that as the profession gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's not just print designers, it's not just interactive designer. Now we're talking about software designers, now we're talking about packaging. There's environment. Who designed the interface of the iPhone, right? How do you, what is that? Is that graphic design?
Right.
Probably. What is that category?
Well, on a certain level, it certainly is. Yeah. On other levels, it's expanded much more than that.
Right.
It really is truly human interaction.
So now we've got to drop in all software designers, and what part of software design? And what about people that just do thinking? What about just strategists? Where do they fit in the picture? And so there's these so many different venues that we're talking about. But the problem, of course, the broader you get, the more easy it is to slip into mediocrity, right? Like we start shooting to the middle because that's the easiest place to go.
Right.
So it's important that we have the widest door open as possible, but we still continue to shoot for the most excellent and honor the most excellent and strive for that at all times. And so I think that's, sort of the big picture we have to look at is how do we make this open to everybody, but still talk about the very best and push people to inspire them to be the very best and continue to enforce the idea of design as being a major influence on business, which it is.
Yeah. Well, we'll check in with you in about 12 months and
see
find out how all that happening. Turns out.
It'll right. just be solved by then.
Yeah. Well, Sean, we're definitely out of time here, and we know that you have many things to do today. So we
nothing as fun as this.
Oh please! Well, wait till later tonight. We'll try to top it. So thank you again very much.
My pleasure. Being my pleasure.
If you guys would like to learn more about Sean, you can head over to adamsmorioka.com, which we've surely been linking to this entire time.
It's possible.
And so yeah, thanks once again, everyone out there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in. Possibly next week, maybe the week after. We're still figuring out our weekly to bi-weekly schedule at this point.
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll do that. But thanks again. And
my pleasure. You guys are doing a great job.
To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery. Music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.